Good evening. Hi, everybody. I'm Kai, and welcome to Roots and Wings, a KYRS program sharing the perspectives of immigrants and refugees on education here in Spokane. Today is our first episode, so welcome, everybody, and thank you for tuning in. To give a brief summary of the whole idea behind this show, here we honor the roots, so the culture, heritage, and knowledge that students bring with them, and the wings, the education, opportunity, and support that help them soar. Each episode, we hear stories and perspectives from different communities about education and belonging, and how teachers and communities can better support every student's journey. Today, we are joined by Dean Batuma. He is from Rwanda and is currently a language specialist in the Spokane Public Schools and a professor at Gonzaga. Fun fact, Dean can speak 7 languages, and today he is going to be talking about immigrant and refugee students and families from the African Great Lakes region. So this includes Rwanda, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Burundi, Tanzania, and Uganda. So Dean, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. So first of all, to get the question started, I'm going to ask you, why do you think it is important to talk about how teachers can support immigrant and refugee students from the African Great Lakes region?
That's a good question. It brings other 2 questions. What truly motivates us to keep moving forward? Mm-hmm. Is it our past or the possibilities of our future? As teachers, educators of immigrant and refugee students from the African Great Lakes region, it is important to recognize that you are not teachers like others. We are teachers who embody the possibility of who this student can become. While their past experiences undeniably shape them, it is ultimately the future, the vision of what lies ahead, that propels them forward. This future-oriented hope inspires them to overcome significant obstacles and to make profound sacrifices. I firmly believe that supporting multilingual learners, including these new immigrant and refugee students, goes beyond academic instruction. It involves nurturing their social growth, honoring their diverse cultures and languages, and affirming their identities. These students and their families are driven not merely by their past or origins, but by the hope of rebuilding their lives, securing a quality education, living in peace, and contributing meaningfully to society. It is a profound honor to work alongside colleagues and communities who share this forward-looking vision and who are dedicated to transforming the aspiration of these families into tangible realities. Your role as teachers, your role as educators is vital, not only in teaching content, but in shaping future filled with promise and opportunity. Thank you.
Wow, Dean, that was beautiful. I'm so honored to have you here with us, and to have someone with your knowledge is just, it's really great. So thank you for that beginning intro. And we can get started with the rest of the questions.
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, great. So just so our listeners know, Dean and I are going to be playing clips from a video that features Dr. Morelli speaking. So I'm going to now play the first video clip. Dean, we can put our headphones on to listen to it.
You heard me introduce Mihai with Doctor before her full name. And yes, she is a doctor. Dr. Mireille, please, I invite you to the stage.
Okay, so that was our first video clip. Short and sweet, but it has an important nuance in it that Dean and I would like to discuss. So, Dean, my first question for you is, what are some of the key challenges? So that includes social, emotional, medical, educational, or other, that is facing immigrant and refugee students from the African Greater Lakes region who are adjusting to U.S. schools?
The key challenges facing Rwandan immigrant and the African Great Lakes region refugee student from those countries, Rwanda, Burundi, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Tanzania, Kenya, and Uganda, as they adjust to U.S. schools, encompass a range of social, emotional, medical, and educational difficulties. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of social emotional challenge, we can say that these students often carry profound trauma and grief resulting from experiences of war, loss, and prolonged survival under adverse conditions. Such experiences can manifest as post-trauma stress disorder, anxiety, or dissociative behavior, which frequently remain undiagnosed or untreated. Emotional detachment is common. For instance, some students may suppress feeling of sorrow, leading to perception of numbness or withdrawal that can be misinterpreted by teachers. Additionally, students face significant cultural isolation and shock while negotiating complex identities or while balancing African traditions, refugee experiences, and integration into American culture. They often do without adequate adult support, family, or without educational system, because sometimes we forget it. Mm-hmm. They have medical challenges as well. Many students arrive with untreated medical conditions, including infection, malnutrition, chronic illness, alongside somatic symptoms related to psychological trauma, such as headache or fatigue from those refugee camps.
Mm-hmm.
Access to mental health care is limited by cultural stigma, a shortage of culturally competent providers, and the fear of misunderstanding, which often result in students bearing psychological burdens in silence. We have also educational challenges, interrupted and consistent schooling is a common issue with those students. With many students experiencing length gaps in formal education due to displacement and stability, leading to mismatches between the age and academic grade placement, the language barrier poses significant hurdles because some of them are educated primarily in French, in Swahili, or local languages like Kinyarwanda, Kirundi, Lingara, Kinyabwisha, and others.
Mm-hmm.
And they often struggle to adapt to English-based instruction and American idiomatic expressions. Furthermore, many students arrive with limited exposure to digital tools and modern educational resources such as computers and laboratories. These contribute to skill deficit in the contemporary classroom. We can also say something about diverse educational backgrounds. The educational history of these students are highly varied. Some of them have attended refugee camp school founded by religious or international organizations, which tend to emphasize discipline and moral value, but vary in quality. Their prior schooling may have been in a variety of languages and shaped by faith-based curricula from Catholic, Anglican, or Islamic schools. In many cases, formal education has supplemented or replaced informal learning in community or family contexts due to the conflict and displacement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Dean. I think it's really important how you pointed out that a lot of these symptoms you talked about can be misrepresented by teachers, where if they see a student who seems unengaged or tired, and they could view that as a rude student or someone not paying attention, but it's important to think about how that could be a headache or fatigue, like you were talking about from a refugee camp experience. So
the parents are also, when you talk about Dr. Mireille,
mm-hmm.
and it's good to use this clip to highlight the complexity and the nuances about someone being introduced as a doctor, especially when the woman in the video emphasizing, and yes, she is a doctor,
mm-hmm.
or the title Dr. Mireille Twagira, from refugee to medical doctor. It's not given. It's like a miracle. But this moment opens up an important conversation about how professional degrees and careers don't always transfer smoothly from immigrant and refugees coming to the United States. Many parents from the Great Lakes region and the other part of Africa face harsh reality when they arrive here in the U.S. The academic qualifications are often not recognized or accredited in the U.S. This means that doctors, engineers, and experts in various fields who had respected careers back home suddenly find themselves treated as if they never attend school at all.
Mm-hmm.
The reason vary. There is lack of English proficiency, skepticism about African universities, or even challenges faced by those with degrees from Europe, Russia, or Asia, and are not accredited or recognized here in the U.S. As a result, many of these skilled professionals are required to begin their career new, if often by retraining or enrolling in academic program to meet U.S. certification and licensing standards. However, for many, this pathway is not feasible, as you know, as they must work full-time to support their families, cover rent, and meet other ongoing financial obligations. The demand of full-time employment makes it nearly impossible to simultaneously pursue full-time education or professional recertification. Additionally, limited proficiency in English represents a significant barrier, both in navigating complex bureaucratic processes and accessing academic or professional training opportunities, further compounding the challenge they face in rebuilding their career in the United States. So, as you see, both student and the parent are affected, and they are obliged to navigate through this American system of education.
Yeah, I think it's important to highlight the parents as well in this conversation, like you just did. Because like you were talking about, that could also be misrepresented by teachers, like a parent who is busy or might seem like they're unengaged in their student's education could be experiencing the struggles you were just talking about, like regaining a degree that they already had, like things like that.
Yeah, this situation creates confusion and frustration, not only for the immigrant themselves, but for the children. Because before coming to the U.S., these children believe that education is the key to success,
mm-hmm.
inspired by their parents' achievements back in Africa. But once here, they witness their parents' qualifications and by extension, their hard work and dreams being dismissed or devaluated by the system.
Mm-hmm.
This disconnect can deeply affect family dynamics and the view of educational and opportunity in America.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Thank you, Dean. That was a great response. Very informative. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. So now we're going to move on to another question. And also, again, we'll be using the video of Dr. Morelli to begin the conversation. So going to get that queued up now. Hold on, we might be experiencing some technical difficulties.
Call it a story of hope, a story of God. Another could say...
Okay. Sorry about that, listeners. Just still getting to know the ropes of how the radio station works on my first episode. But now I'm going to play the clip that Dean and I are going to discuss. So here you go.
Well, my story can be given quite a number of titles. One could say it is a tragic story. Another could say it is a story of courage and perseverance. Well, I choose to call it a story of hope, a story of God, something one could call from ashes to beauty, a beautifully stained glass window.
All right, so that is our second clip that we're going to be talking about. So based on that clip, my question for you, Dean, is let's talk about how Dr. Morelli chooses to frame her story as a story of hope. What do you think about the idea that we all have the ability to title our own stories? And how do you think this can be empowering to immigrant and refugee students? And how can teachers support this?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the idea that we all have the ability to title our own stories, as Dr. Mireille frames hers, as a story of hope, is deeply empowering, especially for immigrant and refugee students from Africa. This reframing allows them to reclaim schooling over their narratives, which are too often reduced to trauma, victimhood, or deficiencies by outsiders. Here is a breakdown of why this matters and how teachers can support it. What does it mean to title your own story? I think to title your own story means to choose the lens through which your life is interpreted, focusing not just on pain or hardship, but also on strength, resilience, growth, and purpose. For Dr. Mireille, calling her journey a story of hope highlights her ability to overcome, not just survive. Why is this empowering for African immigrant and refugee students here in America? First, they are reclaiming identity beyond trauma. It means refugee students are often defined by what they've endured. It means war, displacement, or loss. Titling their own story shifts the narrative from I am what happened to me to I am how I responded to what happened to me. Also, this act recenters resilience, not victimhood, and helps students see themselves as active agents in their own future.
Mm-hmm.
Second, we can also say something about affirming cultural and personal strengths. Dr. Mireille's story and others like it showcase resilience, educational ambition, faith, and community. These are not deficits to be fixed, but strengths to be recognized and cultivated. By naming the stories with strength and dignity, students draw on these deep cultural values and family sacrifices as sources of pride and motivation. Last, we can also say something about fostering hope and future orientation. As Dr. Mireille said, hope is a powerful driver for academic and personal success. When students see themselves as writing the next chapter, they are more likely to persist, dream, and achieve. But now the question will be, how can teachers support this? Mm-hmm. Can I say something about this as well?
Or? Please.
Yes. This will create space for storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Because this allows students to share their stories in a way that feels safe through writing, art discussions, or one-on-one check-ins. They can celebrate not just survival, but strength and dreams. They can help them frame their stories with compassion, not pity.
Mm-hmm.
After creating this space for storytelling, they can also use what we call trauma-informed or strength-based approaches. That means to acknowledge the reality of trauma without defining student by it. It means to reflect the resilience, to drive, and the discipline highlighted, like in Dr. Mireille's journey. We expect excellence without ignoring hardship.
Mm.
We can also incorporate cultural awareness and representation. In this, teacher can support those students because they are validating students' background through curriculum, through literature, through cultural events that reflect their history and strength. They can also include positive role models like Dr. Mireille in classroom materials to show what's possible. And also, they can set high expectations with empathy. It means they will recognize that academic struggle may stem from displacement or language barrier or trauma, but not lack of ability.
Mm-hmm.
This pair high expectation with support, but tutoring, mentoring, mental health resources, and passion guidance. This can be connected by the fact that these students affirm faith and they have already purpose. Because it's better to understand that many students draw strength from spirituality or religious belief,
mm-hmm.
and without pushing any specific belief, teachers can help create an environment where student values are respected. The final thought will be that when refugee students are empowered to title their own story, they begin to reimagine what's possible. Instead of being seen as people who've been helped, they become authors of their future, contributor to their communities, and living example of resilience and hope. Mm-hmm. Teachers play a key role, not in writing those stories, but in honoring, uplifting, and working alongside the students who are writing them.
Yes. Thank you, Dean.
You're welcome, Kai.
Again, what a response. I'd like to touch on a couple of things you said that I found really, really interesting to hear and learn about. So the first, I like how you said that it's up to the students to choose the lens that they see their life. I think that is a really good example of how you're talking about students are able to live the experience of hope, and they can do that through, creating that lens. I also think that the point where you pointed out that it's not that students lack an ability because of a language barrier or something like that, and to still have high expectations for these students and know that they are super smart and they can produce great academic works and they have a lot of value that they bring. So to help draw that out through storytelling and
it's through, important to highlight that. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, through trauma-informed approaches. So I really, that was great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And now for our third question, I'm going to play another clip from the video.
Okay.
And this is our last clip that we're going to play from Dr. Morelli. And here we go.
Understand people fleeing their countries. Well, we can help these Mirais by opening our homes to them, providing them with a safe place where their life could move on, giving them food, shelter, medicine. It's all very important, but it's not enough. They need a chance to education, higher education, because these are leaders of tomorrow who will in future strive for peace and help rebuild their countries. These people need to know that they are loved by God and those around them. They need to know that they matter, that there is a hope for them, that they have a purpose in life. So, ladies and gentlemen, are you with me?
Okay, so my question to you, Dean, on this clip, is I would love to hear your opinion about that quote from Dr. Morelli and what it means in relation to students and families from the African Great Lakes region.
The quote by Dr. Morelli, I quote, "They need to know that they matter, that there is hope for them, that they have a purpose in life." This encapsulates a profound imperative for educators, teachers, and communities supporting these refugee students, particularly those from the African Great Lakes region, as they navigate the complex process of resettling in the United States. This statement emphasizes the fundamental human need for recognition, hope, and meaning, which is especially critical for students and families who have endured profound trauma, displacement, and identity disruption. I mean to say, in relation to students and families from the Great Lakes region, the quote underscores the necessity of fostering a nurturing and empathetic educational environment that affirms the intrinsic value beyond academic achievement alone. These students often carry the weight of survival stories marked by war, loss, and cultural upheaval, yes, but as such, educators and teachers must recognize that their role extends beyond instruction. It involves creating spaces where students feel genuinely seen, supported, and empowered.
Mm-hmm.
The sense that they matter combats the isolation and emotional detachment many refugee students experience, while instilling hope is vital for motivating resilience and perseverance amid significant challenges. Furthermore, the recognition of purpose speaks to the students' deep educational drive and the aspiration to contribute meaningfully both to their communities and to our society at large. many come from backgrounds where education represents not merely personal advancement, but a communal investment and a pathway to rebuilding fractured lives. Therefore, teachers in the U.S. have a pivotal responsibility to validate these aspirations by combining cultural awareness, trauma-informed practices, and high expectations to holistically support refugee students. The quote also resonates with a broader theme of identity negotiation that refugee students must undertake. It means balancing the African heritage, refugee identity, and adaptation to American culture. When students lose connection with their culture roots, including their language, some of them speak 7 languages or 5 or 2, mm-hmm. It's not only a personal loss, but a communal one, as the continuity of culture and the collective future are jeopardized. Thus, affirming that these students have a purpose and that they matter contributes to sustaining their identity and fostering a sense of belonging in a new context. In summary, let us say, Dr. Mireille's statement serves as a compelling reminder that effective education for refugee students from the African Great Lakes region requires more than academic instruction. It demands an empathetic approach that nurtures hope, validates identity, and cultivates purpose, enabling these students to thrive as resilient, motivated individuals and active contributors to the new community and to our country, the United States.
Yes, thank you so much, Dean. Yet again, a great answer. I really liked your point about helping students find a balance between appreciating their African heritage, their immigrant or refugee identity, all while transitioning to an American way of life. That sounds like a lot for just one person to do. So I think it's really important as teachers and mentors to be aware of this and to...
as we said when we started, we are not teachers like others, because we are teachers who embody the possibility of who this student can become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. That I think that sums it up. Just understanding that you're there to help support the student in what they can do, and just helping them do what they need to do, be what they can become. So I think that's a great point.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Now we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back.
Thank you so much.
Hello again to our listeners. Thank you for sticking with us during that brief break. So that is going to be the conclusion of our first episode of Roots and Wings. I'm super appreciative of Dean for being willing to be our first guest and giving such great and informative responses. So I'm very appreciative of you, Dean. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, of course. To sum up just what Dean and I talked about, as a teacher, it's really important to understand the context of where your students are coming from. And even though that may be different from what you learned in school or your own upbringing, it's important to understand, where they're coming from. So, for example, a parent's education. So as a teacher, it's important to know that what your students are going through, their parents are also going through. So, for example, if they're trying to get a new degree, or get a new job since coming to the United States. That adds stress to the family dynamic. In addition, students are having to deal with a language barrier. And for a lot of them, what they're accustomed to is only using memorization because they don't know, they haven't been used to using a computer. So understanding that your students are also experiencing that. And then also, some students didn't have the chance to go to school, or they're coming from informal refugee camp schools. So just being patient and understanding that for a lot of them, everything is new. So just try to walk with your students and give them the support that they need so that they themselves can reclaim their identity beyond what they have endured. So that's the summary of our episode today. And thank you again, Dean, for coming on. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. And then for everybody, just so you know, the next episode is going to be next Monday at 4 p.m. again, where I will be talking with Doris D. She is from the Marshall Islands. So we are going to be hearing about Marshallese culture and all that. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope that you all tune in for that again next week. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.